It's too cool. We are so close to episode 100. This is 95 today. Just a few more and the big 100. Woo! This is episode 95, and today I'm talking about formative assessment in the classroom. This is the third part, the conclusion of my three-part series of formative assessment in the classroom. Today I'm focused on the actual tools to use for formative assessment. I got some easy ones to use, most of which are completely free, that will help you find out what the kids know and don't know so you can adjust your instruction. Also, I'm going to tell you about my Pinterest boards that can help you get there.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids!
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, glad you made it back. Just want to let you know before we get going any further, this is part three, the conclusion to a three-part journey in looking at formative assessment. So if you haven't heard parts one and two, now would be a good time to stop and go back and listen to episodes 93 and 94. By the way, did I say this was the third part of three? So, over the last two episodes, I introduced some characterizations of some students you might have in your classes. They went like this. Mr. Compliant, this is the kid who'll do whatever you ask. Just tell him what you want him to do. The recluse, leave me alone. Let me be. If you push to get me involved, I will probably just ignore you and not really try. The answerer has all the answers and is usually correct. Wants to answer every question. The comedian. Looks for opportunities to make everyone laugh, sometimes appropriate. Oftentimes not. The disruptor. Seeks to take advantage of keeping the teacher off task and trying to find out what buttons can be pushed and how far he can go before he is really in trouble. The questioner. She usually has very high grades and wants to know more. This child is always ready with a question that will probably try your knowledge of the content. And she has the greatest opportunity for driving you nuts because you know she will have a question. And finally, love struck. This child is off in Neverland, dreaming about holding hands and cuddly stuff. He is often doodling, writing letters, and really not on this planet. And does silly things like let a girl write her name on his jacket in non-removable blue ink. Not that I had experience with this. Or maybe I did. And if you remember, I said that these names sounded a little like some characters from the 1960s Batman TV show. Hence my having a little fun with the topic. But my point in identifying these kids in your class is that if you don't recognize that your kids are being kids, you know, have other things on their minds. Yes, other than the year 1066. Don't know what it is? Look it up. Or the Pythagorean theorem, or William Blake's poetry. Bleh. Or the difference between animal cells and plant cells. No, really. They need you to recognize that they may not be following you. Not only that, one of your students may actually be trying to avoid you from finding out whether he understands or not. If this is the case, you have to take the time to find out what they know and don't know. Therefore, ta-da! It's time for assessment. Formative assessment, that is. So let's revisit my working definition. If you remember right, I said that formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. So one more time, if formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know, the results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. So let's take that apart just a little bit. Remember, we did this last time. Purposeful is, I'm waiting. Boom, 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 boom. So what is it? What's purposeful? With intent? Yeah, good answer. Yay! Well, if we're using intent, that we do this on purpose, it doesn't just happen at the moment, that we put it in our lesson plans, then another part of this definition that is so important is that it's not graded. So purposeful is with intent, we put it in our plans, and not graded means, you got it, that's right. Not graded means, not graded. No penalties whatsoever. Remember, you're trying to figure out whether they know something or not. You're trying to figure out what they don't know. Therefore, there should be no grades, and you can do this. Yes, they'll push back and they'll say, I gotta have a grade. You don't understand. I just gotta have a grade. But you can overcome this. Just like Odysseus. You know, strap yourself to the mast, and you can hear their screams, but, and their special songs, but don't change your mind. Don't make them let you loose from the mast. All right, so I was going a little bit there for that analogy, wasn't I? But anyway, so if purposeful is with intent and not graded means not graded, well, used to adjust instruction means? Yeah. Means that you use the information you get to help address the needs of the kids. Whether that's to keep pushing them forward, whether it's accelerate them, whether it's to help catch them up. The point is that you use that information to help address the needs of the kids. So up to this point, we have talked about the why, the what, and now it is time for the tools. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, the tools. The one thing that I haven't talked about yet. Do you know that almost everything I am getting ready to talk with you about is free? Did I say free? Why, yes, free. All but one, that is. But you will have a powerful tool that is extremely affordable, and you will be able to use it over and over again. And the rest of them are all free. So what a cool thing. We're talking not having to spend much money here. Now, before I go any further, I want you to know that I use social media to help teachers and school-based administrators who I coach. Specifically, I am on Pinterest. If you go to Pinterest.com/SMILETTO, in other words, Pinterest.com/SMILETTO, you will find my boards. Once you get there, look for my board called Assessment Strategies. Inside this board, you will find links to many types of tools that can be used for formative assessments. But what you will also find are every one of the tools I am going to mention today. For you see, each of these comes from a teacher's website or blog article or a website where many teachers post ideas. So you can link directly to these. I love this world of sharing that we are in. Hey, Pinterest rocks! Because teachers are constantly sharing their stuff there. I encourage you to create an account. It's free. Do it today. Follow me and specifically take a look at my assessment strategies board. Nah. Have you done it yet? I'm waiting. Oh, come on. Go get your account now. All right, I'll move on. So here are the tools I'm going to encourage you to use. But first, a reminder. They are purposeful, which means that you put in your plans which ones and when you will use them and what you are trying to learn or find out. They are not graded. No penalty for the kids. You are trying to find out what they know and do not know. No grades. The information gathered is used to adjust instruction. It becomes useless if you don't use it to address the needs of the kids. I know. Enough already. Bring on the tools. Bring on the tools. Bring on the tools. Bring on the tools. Ta-da-da. Ooh, got a live one here. So, here are some of the tools that I recommend you try. Tools for formative assessment. Number one, 5 powerful questions. Now, this is from a teacher's website. It's awesome. And this article talks about how about asking the kids certain questions? Get them to put it down on paper so that you can have it, so that you see how they responded and you know whether they get it or not. So, for example, you could ask one, all of these questions, or just a few of them. But these questions go like this. Number one, what do you think? Number two, why do you think that? Number three, how do you know this? Number four, can you tell me more? And number five, what questions do you still have? Count them, five powerful questions. What do you think? Why do you think that? How do you know this? Can you tell me more? What questions do you still have? Remember, you can ask one of them. You could ask all five of them. You could ask any combination of them. The point is that you're getting an understanding of what the kid knows and doesn't know. And if you use that to adjust instruction, hey, you're using formative assessment to help address the needs of the kids. So if the first one is five powerful questions, my second one is called 10 assessments in 90 seconds. And what I really like about this is that this teacher wrote the idea for the formative assessment and then described what it looked like in her classroom or what it should look like when the kids do it. And so we're not going to go over all 10 of these, but there are a couple that I really like. For example, three questions. The three questions one is pretty cool stuff. For example, the teacher says, ask three questions about the topic, then rank them in terms of their importance or value. Example of student response: low importance. Does the prefix tri mean three? Medium importance. Is the triangle the only three-sided geometrical figure, or high importance? Why don't triangles show up very often in nature, as so many other shapes do? So three questions. What a cool thing. I also like explain what matters. Explain the most critical part of a given topic to a self-selected audience. And you must say who this audience is, and you explain it in two or fewer sentences, the most critical part of the given topic. What a cool thing. And then finally, I like draw it. Draw it is the idea that they draw what you're asking them about. That way you see whether they understand it or not. Check it out. 10 assessments in 90 seconds. Remember, you can find these linked not only on my show notes, but also if you go to my Pinterest board at S. Mileto. All right, so that brings me to number three, which are Marzano's question stems. Yes, question stems. This is not STEM questions. In other words, we're not talking about science, technology, engineering, math, but instead questions that lead to higher order thinking. And some of you might know who Robert Marzano is. He's one of the gurus of how we learn, what we know, and what works well in the teaching world, working with young minds. Well, his question stems, are... You're going to see that they kind of sound a little bit like Bloom's taxonomy. Well, what he's done is he's reduced this number and he's come up with his question stems. They're analyzing, applying, knowing, evaluating, generating, integrating, and organizing. And he says that these question stems, you need to spend time developing the kid's ability to respond to these levels of questions. So get them better at getting up in these higher, from the lower order to the higher order, from the knowing to that analyzing and evaluating and integrating levels. Cool. Well, the teacher that put together this blog, she created this cool activity. She created this can. Now, I know she didn't make the can, but what she did was she took a can and she decorated this can, and it's pretty fancy. It looks really awesome. And she created questions that went with her content for each of Marzano's STEM questions. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Question stems. I'll get it right eventually. And so she had questions for analyzing, questions for applying, questions for knowing, questions for evaluating, generating, integrating, and organizing. She put these questions on pieces of paper that were different colors. So that, like, for analyzing, that might be gold, and applying might be purple. You get it. And then she cut the questions up and put them in the can. So when in her plans it called for her to go to the question stem, she pulled out the can. Kids love it when you have props. Pulled out the can, calls a student up, and the student reaches in and pulls out the question. And then the class has to respond to that question and give it to the teacher. Hey, what a cool, fun activity to figure out whether they're following you or not and what level they understand you at or not. That's a pretty cool activity. Remember, you can find this blog article from her website in my Pinterest account, as well as linked in the show notes. So, if we've had 5 powerful questions, 10 assessments in 90 seconds, and Marzano's question stems, now it's time to talk about something called tickets out the door. I love them. Oh, they're so cool. And they exist in so many different formats. But before we go there, do you know about Teachers Pay Teachers? Now, this isn't commercial for my account. I don't sell stuff on Teachers Pay Teachers. But if you don't have an account there, you don't know what you're missing out. Because, yes, teachers sell different ideas that they have for creating this lesson or that lesson, or this activity or that activity. But they also have things that are free. Remember that word, free? Well, if you go into Teachers Pay Teachers and put in free tickets out the door, all of a sudden you have all these hundreds of ideas where people have already created the tickets out the door. If you're challenged with using, Microsoft Word to create fancy-looking tickets, you don't have to do that. You go to this link, and guess what happens? When you go to Tickets Out the Door on Teachers Pay Teachers, remember, you got to put in the word free. When you go there, you're going to get hundreds of them. Some of them are fancy than others. Some of them are small little boxes. Some of them are big, fancy, feathery tickets. It's so cool. And you just make your choice. Because the person who uploaded it says you can have it for free. So use them. Well, tickets out the door are awesome. Because what you do with them is it might say something like, tell me what you learned today. And at the bottom of it, it might say, tell me what you need to know more about. And before they leave class, they fill this out, put their name on it, and give it to you. Oh, what a cool idea. Now, you could also do tickets in the door, which means that you have the same sheet of paper. When they enter the door, you give it to them and it asks them, tell me what you learned yesterday and tell me what you need to know more about today. And they give it to you. Or you could just do tickets in the middle of the class because I decided to do a ticket in the middle of the class. I know it's kind of a long title, but hey, it works. Maybe your class is divided by lunch, so you do a ticket after lunch ticket. You get my point. The idea here is that you wouldn't grade these in a million years, but the information is going to be invaluable. Because remember, I told you that, as a kid, I didn't want to be called to the board. I didn't want to have to raise my hand. Well, here, it's just between me and the piece of paper and the teacher. Nobody else can see it. Nobody sees what I'm writing. Nobody sees if I'm struggling or not. So I don't get made fun of or anything like that. So after a few tries, I'm going to be telling you exactly what you need to know about me. Because I feel safe in sharing. Tickets out the door work wonderfully that way. But you got to use them. And not only that, when you get the information, you got to use that information to do what? I can't hear you. That's right, adjust instruction. Bingo. All right, so if number 4 is tickets out the door, number 5 are stickies. You may know them as Post-it notes. Shh, that's a brand name. Stickies are an amazing tool. You can use them as your medium for the kids writing down their responses, like in those 5 powerful questions. They could write on a sticky and give you the sticky with their name on it. They could put it on a board. Maybe you have a piece of paper on the wall that says, tell me what you learned today. Tell me what you still need to know more about. And they put the sticky on there with their name on it, which answers your question. And then you go back and review those later. What a cool thing. I saw a teacher who has red light or stoplight. What she's done is she created a red circle, a yellow circle, and a green circle, and she put them on her wall. And she has different titles, but you get the concept here. You put it up there, and so when the kids go to leave, they take the sticky, and they put it on with their name. Remember, they got to have their name on it. They put their response to the questions up there. So red light could mean, I don't get this. Yellow light could mean, I'm a little iffy on this. Green light means, I got this. See what I'm saying? I'll link to the red light, stoplight method. But the idea is here, you can use stickies in combination with other things. One teacher took the idea and created minions. You know, the different minions from that movie about the same name, Minions or Despicable Me. Well, took 3 of the different minions and put them next to it. And the kids put their sticky on which minion you know, was happy and which one was a little confused and which one was very sad. There also was a teacher who showed me that she took pictures of Kevin Hart, you know, the comedian. And she put sad face, just a kind of their face and very happy face of Kevin Hart. And the kids stuck their stickies to those accordingly to how they felt about what they knew or didn't know about the subject. You could get very creative with this. Stickies, gotta love them. One of the things that's in my Pinterest boards is a link to 3M's website. And in 3M's website, they have teachers who post all kinds of ideas about how to use stickies to get information out of the kids, to learn what they know and what they don't know. I encourage you to take a look at it. It's the one that has the pink package of Post-it notes on it. That's the link that'll take you to their website. Go check out all the different ways that your colleagues and peers have discovered that they can use stickies to help them know what the kids know and don't know. Well, if we've talked about 5 powerful questions and we've talked about 10 assessments in 90 seconds and we've talked about Marzano's question stems and we've also delved into the world of tickets out the door, and we've taken a little look at stickies and even focused on some specific uses of it, like the red light stoplight type idea. Well, that brings me to my all-time favorite tool for formative assessment, the mini whiteboard. Ha ha ha. Yes, and yes, there are many different things that you can use in place of a whiteboard. I've seen teachers use paper plates. I've seen teachers use a tabletop. I've seen teachers use plastic bags over the top of a piece of paper. There's any number of ways that you can do this. But I love me some mini whiteboards. And mini whiteboards, if you go, now you can spend $400 on a class set. And yes, some of them already have built into them a graph or some sort of design that's going to help you with some sort of subject. But you don't have to do that. What you really can do is go to a hardware store or one of those big box hardware stores, and you ask for tile board or shower board. They're going to call it one or the other. And you tell them it's the stuff that on the one side is white and shiny, and on the other side it's got kind of this funky sort of rough exterior that looks a little like wood. And they'll go, "Oh, I know what you're talking about." They'll say, "Walk this way." Anyway, so they'll typically lead you into the plywood section of the store. Well, that's not where it is. If you go into the big box stores, they often don't know where they keep this stuff. But I'm going to tell you, it's in the paneling section. And usually it's on the bottom most rung of the panels, you know, of where the panels are kept. It's usually as next to the floor as you can get if it's not on the floor. It comes in 4x8 sheets. And some of the big box stores already have some of it cut into smaller sizes, but that's a little more expensive. But if you get in the 4x8 sheets, it's going to run you anywhere from about $12 to $16. And there are thicker versions of it. You don't need the real thick stuff. But what you do is you buy this. And if you go to the big box stores, they actually have saws set up. And you tell them you're a teacher or an educator, they won't charge you the extra cuts. Mine typically come out about 11 by 17 inches. 11 inches by 17 inches. And that's pretty good size. You could make them smaller. You can get more boards out of one 4x8 sheet. Or keep them that size, and you get somewhere around 21, 22 of them out of that. And that's why you fudge the size a little bit, and you'll get one more. But think about it. How cheap is that? That's not that expensive, and then it's just up to you to maintain them. Well, to help you maintain them, then go to a dollar store, Dollar General, Dollar Store, whatever they're called, and go buy that fake Windex. You know, it's blue, but it's not really the Windex. It works just as well, and you're going to squirt that on there, because you're using dry erase markers. Now, I got to tell you, I've learned that purple and orange are the best colors to use. Not the reds and the blues and the greens, nor the black, because those, they leave lingering traces that build over time. But the purple and the orange, there's something about them. They come off a lot easier. Now, in order to take them off of there, you can use any different number of things. I've seen people go to Goodwill and buy lots of socks and give the kids a sock or gloves. But my favorite is to just get terry cloth washcloths, because you can buy them at a certain big box store for a whole bunch for just under $5. And you buy 2 packages of those and you are set in the classroom. So now you've got something to clean the board with, the liquid to put on the board to clean it, and an idea about the markers to use. I got to tell you, get that purple and orange. And don't, this is not a place to skimp. Don't get the cheap ones, because the cheap ones tend to leave residue all the time. Get the name brand stuff here. It's worth saving the heartaches there, all right? So now we've got the mini whiteboards. And what we do with these is we're going to give them to the kids and we're going to ask them to answer questions. And they write on the board. What a cool thing. Remember, I told you I didn't want to be called to the board. Well, the main reason is I didn't want to be in front of the class screwing up. Well, if the whiteboard is on my desk, the only one who knows that is me and you, because you're walking around looking at what I'm writing. Now, that's not too bad. And that's the way most of your kids will feel. They'll love this because everyone wants to use those markers and those whiteboards. By the way, I had a teacher one time say to me, I'm a little concerned about the kids maybe stealing my markers or stealing my washcloths. And I'm like, well, if you're worried about them stealing your washcloths, all the power to them, by the way. But get old T-shirts, wash them. Yeah, wash them first, all right? And then cut them up and give them those. But to deal with the markers, these whiteboards, you can easily drill a hole in the board. Not in the middle of it, in one of the corners. Take some cord that you buy at the hardware store also. You take this cord, you tie a knot in the area where you put the hole in the board. You then duct tape that end of it so it can't come back through and can't come out without a lot of work. And then you take the other end of it, tie it to the marker, and then duct tape it to the marker as well. If they're stealing your markers after this, all the power to them, because they need to do something because they are bored and you must be boring. Anyway, that's one way of solving that if you really have to worry about that. You usually don't, though. Well, another tool that I love are craft sticks. Craft sticks can help you know who you called on. And that's a big, big area to talk about, because oftentimes when teachers do thumbs up and thumbs down, the problem with it is that you don't know who you called on. You're not going to remember from time to time. You're just going to be in the moment. So you don't record that information. So you don't use that information to adjust instruction. All it is in the moment type stuff when you do that. Well, craft sticks will help you know who you called on. Put the kids' names on each of them. Pull them out of the hat. Pull them out of the coffee mug. Call their name and they answer a question. And then put it down and maybe fill in the information that you got from them on a chart or on a mini whiteboard. There's an idea. Because one of the things I like to do is combine mini whiteboards with craft sticks. Because you could take the craft stick and put it on the mini whiteboard. And maybe written on the mini whiteboard, you have a little rubric. You know, got it? Kind of. And not even near. And don't let the kids see your categories, but you put their sticks in each of those categories so that when you transition to another activity, you then take that information and transfer it to your own chart that you have that you keep in a notebook. And we'll get into charts in just a minute. But you could combine mini whiteboards with the craft sticks, and it can help you know a little bit about your kids. I'll show you a picture of what I'm talking about. It'll be in the show notes. Well, one of the things you should use along with mini whiteboards are charts. You create a chart that does exactly what I just said that's on that mini whiteboard. You create a couple categories. One, got it. Two, not so much. Three, not even close. You know, something like that. I'm being funny, but, you know, create some categories and then create a column that's a place just for comments. So that way you can put this in your notebook. You keep it in there. You put a date and time, what subject, which class period, and you put it in your notebook and you keep it there. And then that way you use that information when you go plan. You take that notebook home with you, and as you're creating your plans, you refer back to this information, and it helps you make adjustments to what you're going to do in class. So the chart helps you remember the information. It is so important to start using charts. And I will link, by the way, to an interview I did with a first grade teacher who was very good at using charts, coupled with her types of formative assessment that she was using. But I encourage you, check out a chart, because you want to be able to record the information so you can remember it. I don't know about you, but I can walk down the hallway and what I was trying to remember 2 seconds ago is completely gone because someone talked to me on my way to wherever I was going. Yeah, I'm sad that way. I'm sure more people are than just me, right? Anyway, so those are my 10 tools that I wanted to talk about today. And there are lots more, many, 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 many more. But what I want to ask you is, tell me, What are you waiting for? Come on. Tonight, in your plans for tomorrow, sit down and talk about which type of formative assessment you want to use, remind yourself not to grade it, and put it into play tomorrow. So let me remind you, formative assessment is a tool that you should be using. It will help you understand your students and give you a better understanding of how to move them forward, catch them up, accelerate them, or just keep them reaching higher. Check out a blog article I recently wrote for some resources on why we should use formative assessment and more about what they look like and how to use them. I'll link that in the show notes as well. But if you go to teachinglearningleadingk12.com, you'll see them in my, that's where my blog article is. Okay, so in this three-part series about using formative assessment in the classroom, I talked about the why, I talked about the what, and I talked about the tools to use. I also gave you my working definition of formative assessment. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. I talked about different types of characters you might have in your classroom. You remember them. They sounded like those 1960s characters from the Batman TV show. You know what I'm talking about. Mr. Compliant, the recluse, the answerer, the comedian, the disruptor, the questioner, and Lovestruck. And there's so many other characters. But these characters are in your classroom, and you've got to check to see whether they're following you from time to time, which means that you need to make it purposeful. Remember my definition. The three terms that I really wanted you to focus on were purposeful, not graded, and used to adjust instruction. Well, purposeful means that you planned for these activities. Number two, not graded means there's no penalty for the kids taking them. And number three, to adjust instruction means that you use the information you gather to do something good for the kids to help them get better, to help them better understand, to help them connect the dots. Fill in the dots. And, you know, I went over 10 types of tools that you can use. You could put into operation tonight in your plans, and then tomorrow in the class, you're using them, right? So, I challenge you. Put in your plans. Take time to put in your plans. Formative assessments. Choose one or two of these and put it in there and use it tomorrow. So, are you ready? Till next time, toodles!
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.